Welcome back to the Affair Care podcast. I'm really excited to be starting a new series here in the fall for the month of September. And this series is the Blueprint for Marriage series. Hope that you will be joining us every week for the 4 weeks of this particular series. You might kind of be wondering, why are we talking about a blueprint for marriage? Our site is a site that is about infidelity and adultery and everything. So why are we doing this? Well, our site is, you're right, it's a site that's for helping people recover their marriage after there's been an affair. But how can we talk about what adultery is without first knowing what marriage is? So this series is going to focus on erroneous views of marriage that lead to wrong expectations, that lead to wrong attitudes, maybe even wrong practices in marriage. So many Bible-believing Christians go wrong because their concept of marriage is an illusion, and usually the illusion that they have is one that's been taught to them by the world. That's why we're going to spend the next 4 weeks studying the blueprint of marriage. And the four-week series is going to be about the origin of marriage, the purpose of marriage, the obligation of marriage, and then the last week will be the commitment of marriage. Most Christians have a simple understanding of the origin of marriage. If you asked a typical Christian person, they'd probably say something like, oh, you know, Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, a typical response. But many are unaware of the significance of that origin. Here is one of the basic concepts of the blueprint of marriage, and then the practical relevance of this basic concept must be considered. And the basic concept is, marriage is of divine origin. Okay, first, God designed marriage as the foundational element of all human society. Before there was, you know, a church, school, a business, God formally instituted marriage. If marriage were of human origin, which is, you know, kind of what we hear out there in the world, then it could certainly be abolished or its terms altered by people for whatever reason they wanted. They instituted it, they can change it. However, if marriage is a divinely ordained institution, as we as Christians believe based on Genesis, then it would last until God ordains otherwise. The rules and the ideals of marriage are to be those that He sets forth. And marriage must not be revamped by human whim or by political correctness. Individuals may marry, divorce, be remarried, only if, when, and how God says they may do so without sinning. So that's why the fact that marriage is of divine origin is a basic concept, and it is extremely relevant. If God ordained it, then we need to discover God's wish and will for marriage, and He's told us a lot about it in the Bible. Okay, second, marriage is a foundational institution, and here what this means is the first one was that it was the first institution that was ordained. This one means that on this foundation of marriage and family, the rest of society is built. It was first instituted in the sphere of human society, and upon that institution of marriage was built family, children from the marriage, schools, teaching for the children, business, even the church is built on the foundation, the underneath foundation of marriage. Society in all its forms depends on marriage. Marriage is, as I mentioned, even the foundation on which the church, as you know, God's elect, His bride, is it rests, because the families come to church. There's ways to be married, there's ways to have families, and then there's ways to raise the family so that they are believers. So the covenant community is weakened when marriages are weakened. The definition of the marriage is in a family, the group of individuals living under one roof, under one human head, and it is a separate decision-making unit. Third, marriage is not for the propagation of the species. Now, some denominations and religions, if you will, say that that is the purpose, if you will, of marriage, is so that the man and the woman can procreate and make more righteous offspring. But human beings are like pretty much any other mammal. Think gerbils, rabbits, monkeys. They can mate outside of the bonds of marriage. So while it is true that God ordained that righteous procreation must be one of the duties of marriage, it is not the fundamental feature of marriage. So marriage is not mating. And then fourth, marriage must not be equated with sexual relations. People can and do have sinful sex before marriage. And then when they do have sex, that does not mean they are married. Furthermore, the first sexual act of a honeymoon is not what solemnizes the marriage. Marriage authorizes moral sexual relations, but because sex is not what is the creator, if you will, of a marriage, when there is adultery, it exerts tremendous stress on the marriage, but it doesn't dissolve it. Marriage is bigger than, although it does include, but it's bigger than just sexual union. In other words, in simple terms, sex doesn't create a marriage, and sex doesn't dissolve a marriage. Now, divorce, following adultery, as a consequence, is not merely an outward formalization of an inward reality, but it's rather, it's a new step beyond the adultery. So, if marriage is not sexual union, and marriage is not mating, and it's bigger than and distinct from sex, we have to ask, what is marriage? And that would be why we're going to go into next week, the purpose of marriage. So we hope that you'll join us. I'm purposely keeping these a little bit short, but we want to get these very deep nuggets to you so that you can think about them all week, and hopefully they will be a blessing to you. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. We're going to be discussing the purpose of marriage. Bye-bye.